Hi, welcome to the Ocean Lovers Podcast. I'm Kirsty, the host of Ocean Lovers. This podcast was started by wanting to make a difference, to educate others of all ages about our oceans and marine life, and of course, to share our passions with all of you. This is an all ocean related podcast where we cover all sorts of different topics, like deep dives on marine life, and we even have special guests come on and chat with us about their education background, career choice, and what motivates them to be in the marine science field. I hope you stick around and listen to the episodes and enjoy the podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ocean Lovers Podcast. I'm Kirsty, and today we have a special guest today. I'm super excited. Her name is Katie Hohmeier. Did I get it right? Yay. Yep. Okay. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So Katie is an online student. She is a senior at Unity College. She's studying marine biology and sustainable aquaculture with a concentration in animal health and behavior. She's also done some internships and some volunteer work that she's going to talk to us about, and we're just going to kind of get right into it. Before we start, because I totally forgot this, by the time this episode's out, you guys have already probably heard episode, I think it's going to be 63. I totally forgot to do the icebreaker questions with Mackenzie, so I already have it up ready to go for Katie. So do you go by Katie or Catherine? Because I noticed
Katie.
Okay.
Both is fine, honestly. Yeah. It depends on who's talking to me, but yeah, Katie normally.
Okay, sounds good. All right. So are you ready for, it used to be three questions and I kind of added one. So
okay,
it'll be just four quick questions.
Curveball.
All right. What is a fun fact about yourself?
All right. I did study these questions. I prepared because I had no idea what to do for my fun fact. But I came up with a fun one. So I performed on a Broadway stage when I was 12. And
that's cool.
Yeah. My stepmother, had a big like acting background, and I always used to want to do it when I was a kid. So she set me up for like some kind of camp. It was a Camp Broadway or something. And I was in My Fair Lady.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. That's cool. Now, have you been into it like since, or was it just kind of like something you did when you were younger? And then.
So I was super into drama when I was younger. In high school, I did all the plays and everything. And then I was originally a music major. I got my first degree in music.
Oh, okay.
So it's definitely like an aspect of my life, but I'm not, not really in the acting anymore.
Okay. Yeah. It's funny how these are supposed to be like, Eric and I used to say that these were like, fast. I forget what term we used. But they were supposed to be like fast questions. And then I always ask people questions about it.
No, that's fine. Oh, I like a little explanation.
All right. So what is a favorite place that you've traveled to or you want to travel to? Or you can obviously answer both.
So I have not really been anywhere. In fourth grade, I went on a cruise, but that was about it. I have a really long list of places that I want to go to, though. And they all basically have to do with animals, obviously. Mm-hmm. So like my boyfriend and I prioritize vacation so differently. I always want okay, what wildlife can I go see? So like Tonga is top of my list. Dominica, I think that's how you say it. Dominica, something like that. I really want to swim with sperm whales there. It looks amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Have you listened to our sperm whale episode?
How long ago was it? Listening to you so long ago.
Okay. It's a pretty old episode. I want to say it's like I think it's one of the first 20, I want to say. I could be totally wrong.
I probably so long ago.
Yeah. I nerded out in that one. So ever since we did that episode, I tell everyone now, like I have a new love for sperm whales ever since we recorded that. And I like watched that documentary. Oh my gosh. I love them. And that's like my bucket list too.
I know. It would be insane. I don't even know how I'd be able to process that at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's high on my list. Obviously like Australia. I feel like everyone wants to go to Australia.
Yes.
But I could just go on. I could go on and on.
I know.
So many places.
I know. It's hard. Yeah. All right. What marine animal best describes your personality and why?
Oh my gosh. So I get this every interview within this field
Really?
Everyone. Oh yeah. It's like, and I never know the right answer. I so badly want to say like a manta ray. I want to be like this peaceful, graceful.
Right. Like in Moana. You know, yeah. Like the grandma.
No, I'm definitely not a manta ray at all. Yeah. Probably like a sea lion. I'm really like personable and high energy and just go, go, go. Yeah. So,
yeah. That's a good one. Yep. All right. Last one. What motivates you to study / work in this field?
Ooh, that's such a good one. Honestly, this is going to sound so generic, but conservation.
Okay,
I just love the idea of protecting this space that we live on. Like, I just saw a poll actually on Instagram, and it's like, should we refer to it as the ocean or our ocean? And it's really tough because like, I feel so connected to the ocean, but at the same time, it's like, we don't own it, you know,
yeah,
like,
that's
this is
true,
just this
huh?
giant planet that we live on that I don't know. I just really want to take care of it. So,
I agree. And you know, what's funny is because we talked a little bit before we started recording and I was mentioning to Katie that, which a lot of people know probably from listening, that my husband was born in Peru. He came here when he was really young. And so we've been twice and, I was like, you know what? And this was us laying in bed last night. I was like, I really don't see much about like Peruvian wildlife.
Yeah.
Other than they really, show off the mountains like Machu Picchu and like the jungle aspects of Peru and just the mountain forms that they have there. But as far as like ocean stuff, I don't really see stuff about it. So I was watching a YouTube video last night and come to find out a good portion of that part of Peru isn't even protected. So now, ever since I saw that last night, I was telling my husband, I'm like, this kind of is like motivating me to do like my own research with like trying to figure out like more things. Cause they say in that YouTube video, maybe I'll put it on our Patreon page, but it was saying that, like humpbacks migrate through Peru, like all sorts of animals. There's even this island where you can actually swim with the sea lions.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually planned on doing that. But of course the last time we went to Peru, I was pregnant, so I couldn't do it.
Right. Right.
And COVID changed a lot of things, but yeah, there's a lot of marine life and it's not very protected. And, it just makes me, it's very intriguing. Like I just want to know more and like share more about it. Cause I feel like nobody's really sharing it. So
that's the best though. Like when you have some kind of personal connection and you can just like dive so deep into all the research.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Yeah. So I might like, I was even thinking maybe I could start a series on the podcast about it, research I come against, but we'll see. We'll see what I do.
I would love to stay posted on that one. That's awesome.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, that's all the questions. Let's get started with, you can just talk about your education background and like the internships you did, the jobs, the volunteer work, and like kind of where you are now and maybe goals in the future.
All right. So I feel like I have to start, you know, as everyone starts, like when they're a kid, you know? So I remember when I was in first grade, we took a trip to the New York Aquarium and I was like seven and I just fell in love with this walrus, and 7-year old me decided to name him Wally because he was up on the glass waving. I don't know how I got Wally from that, but I named him Wally and I just kept going to the aquarium to visit him. And I was just so infatuated by this animal. And then like, I went on a cruise in fourth grade, like I said, and I swam with sea lions. And so I've always had this love for animals, but I didn't have enough confidence in myself. I was like, oh, I'm not good at science. I'm not good at math. I can't get into this field. So I didn't at first. I went to culinary school, or I took culinary classes from when I was 12 until I was like 17.
Okay.
And I was dead set on being a pastry chef.
Aww.
And then I graduated high school and I was like, no, I don't want to do that anymore. And then music was a safe bet for me. So I went to community college. I got my associate's in audio engineering.
Oh, cool.
And and then I got accepted into the Disney College program in January of 2020. And I was supposed to graduate with my associates May of 2020 and then move to Florida June of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you were present in 2020, but a lot of that stuff didn't happen.
A lot of stuff changed.
Yeah. So last minute, my program was canceled and I was left with this associates and no plan afterwards.
Oh no.
I had not you know, thought about getting my bachelor's yet, because I was like, I'm going to be living in Florida for 8 months. What do I need to focus on this for?
Yeah.
So I was in this weird limbo stage and I didn't know what to do. So I was like, okay, let me think about everything that I've loved so far. Let me explore all my options, make sure I'm truly happy. So I went on the New York Aquarium website and I saw that they had internships and I was like, oh my gosh, let me apply.
Yeah.
And I got a really great letter of recommendation from my marine bio teacher in high school. And I somehow got the position. I had no experience. So I was kind of baffled by that. It was incredible. So I was in the behavioral husbandry department. Mm-hmm. So I did the California Sea Lion shows. Oh, and cool. It was, I also really quickly want to say, I don't speak on behalf of any of these facilities. I just want to put that out there. I don't think I'll give any misinformation, but I don't want to give anyone misinformation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I got to work with California Sea Lions for about 3 to 4 months. And it was a really weird time because it was COVID and it was like, hadn't even been a full year of COVID yet. So there was still a bunch of weird staffing stuff. So they're very limited on trainers and very limited on interns. So a lot of the work, you know, fell, as it does with most internships, but a lot of work fell on me and the one other intern. Okay. And we were kind of just thrown in. And like I said, I had never done anything with this field before. So it was really surreal. It was, it pushed my limits a lot in a lot of different ways. But it ultimately obviously changed my direction for my life, because here I am.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. So I did that in the fall of 2020, like I said, and then I kind of had more of a break and I was like, okay, I need to figure out school. I need to figure out what I'm doing next. And I found Unity. It worked because I worked full time and I could schedule it around it. And I was able, well, I'm still in school, but I'll be getting my bachelor's in under 2 years. So
nice.
That was a big accomplishment for me. So, and then my Disney College program like reopened and I went there last year. I only went for 3-4 months. Okay. And then so I worked as a chef's assistant there.
Nice. That's cool.
It was cool because I had that background, obviously. But I was sitting there like, oh my God, I just worked with these amazing animals and now I'm in the kitchen. So
you're like, wait a minute, I changed my mind and now I'm back.
So I was like, I need to just get back to animals. So I moved back home and I applied for 2 different things. So I applied for a volunteer position at Mystic Aquarium with the beluga whales. And I applied for a stranding internship at the Marine Mammal Stranding Center. I got both and they were just at completely different times of the year. So it worked out that I could do both. So I got to work with belugas at Mystic and that was, I keep saying surreal, but it was surreal. I literally, like, I had only known sea lions at this point because I'm so new into this field and that's all I had worked with. Minus like, I did have some like seal experience, but again, that's just pinnipeds, like no cetacean experience whatsoever. And I'm just thrown in with a beluga. And I just was mind blown. It was amazing. Yeah, that was so fun. I just finished that up in January of this year. And then in February, I did my stranding internship. And that just ended like technically this month. But the last month of it, I wasn't an intern because I got hired full time as a stranding tech.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So that was great. Thank you. Thank you. That was eye-opening for sure, because I had just been so used to trained behaviors and captive animals. So with this experience, I was working only with wild animals. I couldn't talk to them. I couldn't look at them when I was feeding them. And because we didn't want to, you know, have them get used to humans.
Because
the goal is to get them back into the wild.
Like, you don't want to create that bond with them. Like, I know usually from what I've read for like the Oh my gosh. The Clearwater Aquarium. They mm-hmm. do the same thing. They try to do the rehabilitation, and then they say, like, try not to get too attached to them, because really the end goal is to release them.
Yeah. That was the hardest thing for me, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was just so used to having these, like, mm-hmm. attachments with these animals. So to just be, like, so cold and, like,
yeah,
just, I don't, it was so odd, but it was really rewarding too, yeah. because, watching them heal for various things and releasing them back, it really was amazing. And then when I was a full-time tech, I responded to a lot of dolphin stuff, and it was crazy, really. Like, it's like we were like paramedics, but yeah. for animals.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
definitely. We were always on call. Like literally 24/7.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, if we got a call about an animal, whether it was dead or alive, in the middle of the night, had to drive down,
oh, wow.
And respond to it. We got a lot of calls about sharks and, like, terrapin turtles, which, oh, like, we didn't okay. respond to. So I would wake up, like, in the middle of the night and get a call about, like, a terrapin, and I'm like, okay, we don't respond to these. Good night. So yeah, total like 180 from what I was used to with training. And then towards the end of, like, right before I left, we had two seals that were still in our care. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately they weren't, releasable.
Okay.
They were deemed non-releasable, for different medical reasons. So we did kind of start training and hand feeding, which, like, brought me back into my training.
Yeah, and, like, you're like, it was kind of fun.
I really liked it. And I was like, oh, yeah. I kind of miss it. Like, I don't know. I really miss it. So I did leave that job recently. Okay. It was a 2-hour commute each way.
Ooh, that's rough.
I was working 20 hours a week for this job. And I really thought I would be able to do it when I first took the job, but yeah. my car broke. A couple weeks ago, the turbo in my car just cracked. So I was like, okay, maybe I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
So I unfortunately had to leave. But I just got reaccepted for an internship that I actually just turned down right before that, for a sea lion training internship at the Turtleback Zoo, which is, you know, 16 miles down the road instead of 112.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where that goes and seeing if I, you know, still really want to stick with training.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of, like, on the fence now, because I've been shown both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that being hard when you first start out making these bonds and connections with these animals. And then you're like, okay, like, but don't make that much eye contact. And you're like,
it's so hard.
You're like, but they're so cute. Like, what do I do?
It's so hard. I feel like if it were the other way around and I started with stranding, it would have been a much easier transition, because mm-hmm. I would have been used to being so cold and then, like,
yeah.
all warm and fuzzy, but
yeah.
But yeah, so, oh, I forgot. So when I worked at Mystic, we had, some belugas that we got from Canada.
Okay.
And some of them were in the intensive care unit area mm-hmm. of the aquarium. So, I was fortunate enough. I feel weird saying this because they were sick animals, but I was fortunate enough to get the experience of helping out with their medical procedures and, like, tubing them and ultrasounds and stuff.
Okay.
So that kind of prepped me for stranding,
mm-hmm.
Which I think, I don't know, because the hardest part about stranding is I don't do well with things that are injured. Like, I just feel so bad.
Yeah.
But
I'm,
like,
the same way.
I just, like, obviously I want to help them, but I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to make it worse.
See, I feel like I'm so attached to animals, like, to, like, okay, let me paint you a picture.
Yeah.
I cannot watch The Lion King because I cry every time.
Yeah, no, that
my
makes
husband
sense.
Gives me crap for it, but that's how much, like, I can't stand seeing, like, animals, like,
yeah,
hurt or, like, death in general. It just, like, breaks. Like, I don't like
yeah.
it. So, like, when you talk about that, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, could I do that? I mean, I feel like in the moment you're probably, like, you have that, I guess, goal or mindset yeah. going into it. But then when you kind of step back and you're like, oh my God, like, what did I just do? How did I even keep my composure? How was I okay with, you know, this animal? Like, if they, I'm sure they just, there are some that are either dead when you show up or they die slowly after. And it's like, how did I do that? So I can't imagine.
That's literally what I was just about to say. Like, you kind of get, I don't know if desensitized is the right word to use, but you kind of get desensitized to it. And like you said, like when you're in the moment, you're just go, go, go. Mm-hmm. I literally get faint at the sight of my own blood. So the fact that I'm even saying this is crazy, but like when I had an animal that like needed to be cared for, boom, I was there, you know?
Yeah.
Like I had to stick my fingers inside of a giant wound of a seal and it was disgusting. And in the moment I was like, fine, whatever. I'm helping this animal.
Like, this is my job. This is cool.
I went home. I went home and I explained it to my boyfriend and I was gagging. I was like, what the heck did I just do? It was so gross to think about. It was horrible. But again, it's really rewarding. And I think it's amazing. And it's a much more fast paced environment compared to training.
Yes.
They're both, like, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but like you're both
in their own ways kind of thing.
Yeah. And you're both on call for both, like as a trainer, like you're on call for these animals, you know, if they are injured or sick, you have to care for them. It's just a lot less common compared to like an animal that's already injured.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, like I said, it's just a lot more fast paced and it was really amazing to see both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So before, like, I definitely want to know some like experiences that you've had, like, especially with the strandings and stuff.
Yeah,
but I did want to ask about the college you're attending, the Unity College.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it? And like, do you recommend it for other people that might be wanting to go into the field? And I try to ask everyone this when they talk about their education background, because I have so many people that message me and they're always asking like, what do I do? Like, how do I get into it? I'm like, it's so different for everyone.
Oh, 100%.
It really is. Like, there's so many different places, and a lot of people that we have on the podcast, when they first start wanting to go in the field, we've noticed that a lot of these people are land-based. Like, they're not even close to the ocean.
Right.
I wasn't. Erica talked about it from our old episodes that she wasn't. Just a lot of guests that we've had on, I've noticed. And I actually mentioned it in one of the episodes that it's funny how a lot of people that we talk to that are marine biologists are in this field. They didn't really grow up by the ocean. So it's kind of, and so, like I said, I always try to like ask people like, what do you recommend? Or what would you tell someone that, based off the college you're going to, like kind of what would you recommend or suggest to a person that's listening that might have questions?
So I first want to say New Jersey is really weird because we're a coastal state, obviously. And I grew up going to the beach, but we don't have, and maybe, you know, I'm a little ignorant in saying this, but we don't have, you know, that many experiences when it comes to going out in the ocean and doing research or whatever the case may be compared to like Florida, California, those kind of places.
Like, that it's not like focused enough probably.
Right. Which like always has confused me so much because we literally are a coastal state. Like it makes no sense.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, I grew up going to beaches, but I don't know. I lived alone from when I was like 17. So I was always working full time, working multiple jobs. So the idea of going away to college and having that like quote unquote college experience just wasn't really in the books for me. So I had to find something more my speed, I guess. That's why Unity has been amazing. I 100% recommend the school to anyone, whether you're landlocked or in a coastal state. It's phenomenal. The professors are incredible. You kind of can do it at your own speed.
Okay.
So they're like 5-week terms and they recommend you do one class at a time, but you're allowed to do two. So I've just been doing two at a time so I can graduate sooner.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's like a whole condensed semester, like within the 5-week term, which seems really scary, but the way that they break it up is great. And I was concerned at first just because I don't like reading like on my computer. I like reading. Just not on my computer. So
yeah,
like
I'm
a very hands-on person and I was worried about labs and stuff. But like for chemistry, we had like the professor just had us go and buy different things from the store. And like, we did our labs at home.
Oh, wow.
And
there's okay.
a bunch of virtual labs too. Like we did mice lab things on the computer. For my marine mammal bio class, we had, it was like a virtual boat simulator. And like, you had to like find, a whale and identify it just from like its blow. Like it was insane.
Yeah.
And cause it was all like a simulation. It was all virtual. So I was very impressed by that and, you know, how they're integrating everything. And I think now that, you know, since COVID, everyone's kind of shifting towards the online world.
Yeah, the virtual.
They're definitely advancing. So I kind of got lucky in that aspect. But yeah, I think it's a phenomenal way for someone to get into this field. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, like I keep saying, I didn't have any background. I just started this less than 2 years ago. So it's been a whirlwind. It's been insane. I'm learning so much. Yeah, everyone's been so welcoming. Aww. And then, yeah, so the cool thing about Unity too is they have these things called concentrations. So it's not like a minor. It's just, I think it's 12 extra credits. And it's just, you can pick, you know, whatever you want. So I'm doing animal health and behavior as my concentration. Mm-hmm. So like I said, it's not a minor, but it's just some extra stuff. So
something else to kind of add to your resume too. That
yeah, for really sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know a lot of training stuff, like if you're interested in getting into training in a captive facility, a lot of it's like psychological and behavior based stuff. So having that kind of background, like I know so many people that I've worked with literally just went to school for psychology. Mm. They didn't even have like a marine bio background.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot of trainers. It's so crazy now. Cause I feel like I've heard from so many people nowadays that it's like, oh, you just need the experience and you can pretty much get hired.
Oh, 100%.
Like volunteer work. It's like, you don't even have to have like, I mean, it's obviously if you want to go further in life with higher end jobs and stuff, then that's obviously beneficial. But just starting out, it's like knowing that it's less pressure for sure.
Oh yeah. Like I literally got my first full-time job in the field, like 2 months ago and I don't have a degree yet. So it's 100% awesome. About like, not only your experience, but who you meet. Networking is huge. I feel like that goes for every job.
Yes.
But like I went to the IMATA conference in March, which is the International Marine Trainer, Marine Animal Trainer Association. and yeah, so I was in Chicago and I got to meet so many trainers from not only around the country, but around the world. And that was insane. I got job interviews from places in Florida and it was amazing. So like, that's my biggest thing to recommend too. Like add people on LinkedIn, add people on Facebook, go to conferences. Like it's not weird to just randomly add someone. It's not. Cause then your name is in their head.
Yeah. I probably say this so much on the podcast because I want to say like when I was younger, I don't feel like I was thinking back, I wasn't like that confident to reach out to people as much as I am now. Now I'm like, what? Cause I tend to overthink a lot of things. But now I'm like, especially when it comes to something I'm very passionate about, I guess I just don't care. Mm-hmm. And I just constantly reach out to people. If I like just the other day, I saw some, I like went on the hashtag marine biology, found someone that was like super cool. And I messaged her, I'm like, do you want to come on the podcast? And I haven't heard back from her, but that's okay. Like there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with it. I've messaged people from National Geographic and like, even if you don't hear back from them, it's not a big deal, but you're at least that opens the door to meeting so many more people that you could have the possibility of meeting
100%.
And you don't know, like with you going to the conference, like there's so many other opportunities like that, mm-hmm. whether just because one person doesn't respond does not mean really anything. So I'm glad that you mentioned that because I tell everybody on here, networking and connecting with other people, even through social media, because social media can be very negative.
Oh yeah.
But I try to stay on the positive side of it and tell people, don't be afraid, reach out to people. The worst thing they can do is they might be rude, they might tell you no, but that's really it. Like move to somebody else, talk to someone.
Yeah.
And that's why I always keep our messages open on the podcast because I want people to message me and ask questions, even if I don't know, like I'll at least give my opinion and point you in the right direction. And, but yeah, so that's awesome.
Oh yeah. Were you talking?
Oh, no, I was going to say, are you able to like transfer to Unity College, or is it, you kind of have to start from the beginning to end?
So I transferred, I said, I went to community college and I had studied music and I still was able to transfer. I think it was like 60 or 70 credits over.
I have to look into it because I've wanted to go to CSUMB for like ever now, but because I live over 2 hours away, I don't know how realistic that is even anytime soon. I love Monterey. I love Pacific Grove. I love Carmel, but realistically with me living here, especially now trying to pay to live in that area.
Oh yeah. I can't imagine.
Oh my gosh. And then, I mean, I just, right now I'm trying to get as much units as I can at my community college. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obviously cheaper. And then now having a daughter, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do next? Like, I don't know what the next thing for my journey in this field, you know, I've always wanted to just like work on a whale watching boat and then move on from there. But now I'm starting to think like as a mom, I'm like, okay, do I want to maybe teach? Do I want to like go higher up? I thought
about that too. Yeah.
Yes. And so that's kind of like what I'm thinking right now. Like, obviously I want to get my degree and kind of figure out from there, but I'm starting to think, do I want my credentials, my teaching credentials? Do I want to teach like junior high? Because I already work with really young kids. I work with preschoolers, but I've always loved like teaching, which is another reason why we have the podcast.
Right.
But then again, it's like, do I want to teach like community college level someday too, because I like that aspect of it's more independent on the students, and I can do like maybe my own research on the side and implement that in my classroom. So there's a lot of things
that I really recommend Unity. The other great thing about it is, actually I want to say it's great for me, it might not be great for everybody, but there's no set lecture times. So they provide you with textbook material that they want you to read each week. They have lecture videos that you can watch, but there's not like a set, oh, you have to sit in class at 12 o'clock. So
like almost like a Zoom with how some classes are, like some of them are like hybrid to where you can do it more on your own. And then,
yeah. So this, like, you can literally make it your own, like around your whole schedule. I know a lot of people that have gotten their undergrad degrees at, you know, whatever university, and then they started their graduate degrees at Unity because they have amazing master's programs.
Really? Okay.
Unity. Yeah. Okay. And that's how I originally found out about Unity, because of their master's program. And then I realized that they had undergrad too.
Oh, so, okay.
So yeah, if you're thinking about teaching, I'm definitely adjunct professor or something like that.
I'm definitely thinking about it. I'm like, oh, what do I do? But yeah, that's so awesome. Yeah. I'm curious. Hopefully other people will kind of look into it too.
I'd highly recommend it. Yeah. I know. Since like, you know, seeing the people on social media that are like within this field and, you know, like the influencers, the marine bio influencers, whatever.
Yeah.
I've seen a few more people that like are also, or used to go to Unity.
Oh, cool.
So like, I think it's becoming more of a known thing.
Yeah.
Their whole slogan is their, an environmental school.
How have I not heard of this?
I probably should have mentioned that before. But they like mainly have like science stuff. Like,
wow. Okay, yeah. Cool. That's really good to know, because there's I'm definitely gonna look into that for sure.
Thanks. And honestly, I don't want to say it's cheap because it's college, but yeah, compared to like a university, it's pretty cheap.
Okay. Good to know. I was actually going to ask you that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I work full time. So keeping that in mind, I paid for my first few terms all out of pocket. And when I say first few, I mean like my first year almost totally out of pocket. You have to pay each term though. So it's like, it's a 5-week term. So it's almost once a month, you know? So obviously if you take two classes, it's going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when I was taking one, I think it was, what was it? Like $1,500 for the month or for the 5 weeks, whatever.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's expensive, but compared to college and you're not paying for room and board, you're not
a lot faster. And
100%. Yeah. And I like, more focused. Yeah. I like fast paced. I know that's not for everybody. So, I know my one good friend, we met through Unity, and you know, she does better with the one class at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, that's fine. That's good for her. I like to torture myself and do too. So yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. It's a lot of information at once, but it's
yeah. Great. Oh, I bet. That's so cool. Wow. Okay. I'm excited to look into it. I really am actually.
Let me know your thoughts.
Oh, I will for sure. Okay. So tell us about like, what is a really crazy experience that you've had? Maybe let's say with the strandings, like do you have an experience that was just like, that sticks out in your mind? And I don't know, it could be negative, it could be positive.
Oh my gosh.
Like, is there like a crazy story? Like you got a phone call and it was like an animal that you guys don't eat. Like maybe it's really rare to see.
Oh, my dog just came in. let's think here. I got a call about a dolphin head.
A dolphin head?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And we had a few weeks prior, we had a dolphin without a head wash up. So we thought, oh, maybe these could be related.
Yeah.
And they very much were not. So I had to drive like an hour and a half down the parkway to pick up this head.
Oh my gosh.
All to bring it back and to realize it didn't match the other dolphin. That's not really crazy, but that was.
But yeah, you don't really hear about that. Do you think it was human related, or you think it was just nature did something?
It honestly, I don't want to get too gross, but it was too decomposed to tell if there was any human interaction.
Okay.
I don't think there was any like clean cut or anything.
Okay. Now that you say that, if there was like a lot of decomposition, then it was probably like out in the water for a while and finally floated out. For sure. So I'm curious what would have like caused.
I don't know
that,
because I
dark.
They were talking at work, like they originally thought if it was a clean cut, it could be like a fisheries incident.
Yeah.
So, but again, we didn't know. So nothing like came of it. So I have no idea.
Yeah.
There are so many calls that we got and I was just like, I really want to know what the heck happened.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. So we had a lot of, babies, a lot of baby dolphins, calves, because a lot of them are stillborn, unfortunately. Aww. So a lot of them washed up.
Okay.
I mean,
do you guys take care, like if it is already deceased, like when you guys get there, do you guys have people there that will still take it and they do like run data on it and stuff? Or is it just, do you guys mainly just take it to, I don't know, for medical reasons, like if they can save it and whatnot?
So it depends on the state of the animal. If it's like, we go by code. So if it was like, I think it was code 2 is fresh dead. And if it's fresh dead, we pick it up and we send it down to the lab, and that's in Trenton, New Jersey. And then they'll give us a necropsy report.
Okay.
And it'll kind of give us like, you know, cause of death and all that stuff. But if it's pretty decomposed, we have the public works, they dispose of it.
Yeah.
And so they either bury it on the beach or they sink it sometimes.
Yeah.
It depends on a lot.
Yeah. But,
I have a story. it's probably not that interesting, but we got a call about a humpback.
Okay.
But it was a dead humpback, and it was just like in this back bay inlet area.
Hmm.
And it was, so like, I'm sure you know, but when whales die, they bloat, they're very full of gas.
Puff up,
And this one was like totally like deflated. It literally looked like a balloon. So it must have been sitting there for months, or not months, weeks, but like it was just so nasty. And like the tide had flipped it over. You could see its oil like outline, and it was gnarly to look at. And I didn't go respond to it in person, so I don't know how it smelled, but the people that sent us pictures,
yeah, I bet.
I really don't envy them at all. So
yeah, I was gonna say that probably smelled so bad.
That was the worst part of the job, honestly. Like I was used to, you know, poop and fish, that kind of smell, but dead rotting animal, that's one that you got to get used to. That is not fun.
I can't imagine. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm curious, like nobody found it, but you said it was tucked away.
Yeah, it was like in a back bay area. So okay. The only reason we got the call about it was because I think he was like a fish and wildlife volunteer or something.
Oh,
and he was
okay.
he was doing a survey on like ospreys or some kind of bird, something, and he came across it and he was like, hey, by the way. We were like, oh, cool. I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh man. Was there like, does it look like any sharks had gotten to it, or it was just kind of
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because like I said, it was so tucked away. It was like it was like on grass. It wasn't like grass. It was I don't know.
Like a seaweed bed almost.
It was grass, but I don't know. I don't know the exact location of where it was. I don't know what like the environment around it was.
Okay.
But it was just really gross. And it wasn't like submerged in the water. It was very like leathery and crispy.
So if that's
the nice words you want to hear about a dead whale.
Right. Let's paint everybody a picture.
Yeah. It's gross.
But that's okay.
I don't know. I learned to enjoy all that stuff with that job.
Yeah.
Because it's like the grosser, the cooler kind of thing.
Yeah. I would think you would learn to appreciate it because this is something right now you can tell people about, and not everybody experiences that.
Or
every experience is different too. So
right.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah. So what, so right now you're going into what? You're starting a new position, right?
Yeah. So, so a little backstory on this.
Mm-hmm.
So I had applied for this internship while I was still interning at this training center.
Okay.
And I got accepted for it, but then I got offered the full-time position at this training center.
Right.
So I turned down the internship to take the full-time job.
Right.
And then when I had to leave the job, I reached back out and I was like, hey, unfortunately the commute's not working. I'd love any consideration, you know, to come back as part of your team kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, they got back to me today and they were like, come on, join us.
That's so cool.
So it's going to be another, sea lion training internship.
Okay,
hopefully.
Cool.
It can turn into more than an internship. I'm kind of tired of interning, but
yeah,
it's the process with this field, unfortunately.
It really is. It's kind of unfortunate because this field is so, it's so hard to explain. Like, it's hard to get into, but then again, I feel like there's not enough people, and I don't even know why that is. Like, why is it so hard to get into, or even like a paid job, but yet we don't have enough people like doing, like I was telling you before we, or I was talking to you about Peru and, how I just don't think that there's much research being done about the animal life, and there's not much protected in Peru. And so that kind of makes me motivated to kind of do my own thing and connect with other people that live down there and that don't really get recognized, I guess you can say. And this field is so weird. It's so rewarding, but so weird at the same time.
I always warn people though. I'm like, you have to bust your butt for free before you can get recognized. And, you know, it's tough because, it kind of like weeds out. What's the, I don't know, English, but
depends on how you're saying it.
It picks apart the people that, you know, are really interested in the field and are willing to put in all that work versus the people that just, you know, want to cuddle sea lions, you know?
Yep.
So it's a lot more work than just petting an animal all day. So I think it's really important to have interns and to kind of showcase how hard you're willing to work. But when you're three internships deep or four now, it gets a little...
No, I can see that. And I think too, you made a good point. Like, internships are good because I feel like you either want to be in the field or you don't. Like, it's very specific.
Oh yeah.
So they kind of have to, instead of just being like, hey, you want this job? And then they end up hating it. Like, what if it's their first job and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to work with animals, let alone marine life. Mm. So I could definitely see that. But yeah, you definitely have to bust your butt, like you said.
Oh yeah. It's a lot of hard work, and I like to think it pays off, obviously. Like, I work like crazy, but I have all these amazing stories to tell. I've gotten the opportunity to work with some of the most amazing animals that, like, I would never see a sea lion off the coast of New Jersey. I would never see a beluga. So the fact that I got to be hands-on with them was phenomenal, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like everybody in this field too, they're very passionate. So once you get really deep into talking and connecting with other people, like we were saying, you start to realize that the majority of the people in this field, because you have to work so hard to get far in it, that you have to be pretty passionate.
Oh yeah. It's such a welcoming community too. Like I said, I added so many people from the conference on LinkedIn and Facebook, and we're all just like hyping each other up all the time, congratulating, like, even if we're not super close with each other. Like, I have people from Denmark still like reacting to my things on Facebook and congratulating me on my successes and everything. And it's just such a welcoming community for sure, because we're all in it for the same reason. Yeah. And it's a very loving reason.
Yeah. And I think people have to kind of keep that in mind, because there are, in any job, there are people that can be competitive. There are people 100%. That can be negative, and which is unfortunate, but it's just one of those things where you just kind of have to brush it off and not really focus on that part of it, because like you said, it's just what it is when you come across that. And you just have to kind of keep your mindset focused on why you're in the field, and that'll kind of keep you going. Because I've done an internship for Happy Wife. I took a break when I went on maternity leave, and I haven't been back at it. But I've done quite a few things, and some of it was awesome and some of it was not. So it's like, you're going to definitely have some stories of, well, this wasn't the greatest, and oh, I had to deal with these people, but I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
It builds you up.
I think as cheesy as it sounds, everything happens for a reason. Yes. Everything teaches you a lesson. And even if you're, working with tough people to work with, it teaches you how to deal with those tough people and how to be not necessarily the bigger person, but just stay neutral, stay positive.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's definitely important to have those experiences.
Yeah. I mean, even working on a whale watching boat, for anyone listening, like, you still have to deal with, you learn how to communicate with customers that are on the boat that know nothing about whales. So like, a question coming to you about, when's the best time of the year, or what's in this bait? It's like, to you, it's probably like, oh, I have to explain this again. But to these people, it could be like their first time seeing a whale, and you have to like kind of keep that in mind. And especially if you like educating others, which I love doing. So I think it gives you the experience too, whether you're on a boat, whale watching, whatever, it gives you that experience. Like, do I like, really educating people? Do I like just doing maybe more of the research aspect, lab, maybe some type of virtual stuff? So you really have to try different things in the field to see like what you really, really like.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else from your internships or volunteer work that you want to talk about? Or did we pretty much cover it?
I think we covered it. I want to encourage people. I mean, it's just kind of reiterating, but I want to encourage people to do internships, because like you were saying, experience is the most important factor. So as much as I'm kind of complaining about doing a bunch of internships, I don't mean to complain. They're great learning experiences, and I think they're very important. So I recommend anyone to go out and do it if you're able.
Yes. And that internship could lead to a job. So that's also something you have to think about too. It's like, you have to go into it thinking, okay, or not thinking, I'm not getting paid, I'm not going to try that hard. Or that you just can't really think negative about it. You need to think about it is, this is something I could put on my resume, whether I get a job from it or not. This is experience that I'm gaining for myself, again, for a resume. And something that I can talk about, and you're just, you're gaining a lot of things from a field that you're trying to get into, and then possibly a paid job, or they can always give you a good letter of recommendation.
Those are so important.
Yes, it really is. Because like we said in the beginning, experience is a big part of this field, whatever you're going to school for. If you're getting that volunteer work and that internship and the experience in it, you can definitely get jobs with, while you're going to school. Like you said, you don't even have your degree yet, and you were able to get a job in the field. Yep. So it's awesome that you said that, because I really hope that encourages other people that are listening. Like, oh, I have to have a degree to get a job in the field, or to even internship, or, you know, volunteer work is hard and I can't find a place to do it. It's definitely possible. And I think that's a really good example that everything that you were saying, because I think it'll help a lot of people that are listening for sure.
Oh yeah. Get a letter of recommendation from at least one person everywhere you work, because it just showcases your character, and then you can pick and choose which ones you want to use. And honestly, most of the time an internship leads to a paid job. Like one of my closest friends, I interned with her at New York Aquarium, and now she's a trainer there. The only reason I didn't is because the two places were in Mystic, Connecticut and Brooklyn, New York, and I live in New Jersey and I just can't commute there.
I know.
It's tough. Like I said, New Jersey's weird. We're a coastal state, and yet there's not many places where you work.
Right.
But
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on. This was
awesome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. It was so much fun. I love chatting with different people and their backgrounds. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have known about Unity College, which I'm definitely looking into. And hopefully other people that are listening will do it too.
Please do.
And yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much. And thanks for everyone that is still listening to the podcast. This will, I think, be episode 65, and I still can't believe it. So let us know what you guys think of this episode on our Instagram. Oh, and if you are one of our patrons on our Sea Turtle tier, I believe it is, you can watch these videos on there as well. These, I say once a month, but now that I'm recording more, usually I'll post more videos monthly. But it is just technically once a month on the perk. But yeah, all right. Thank you guys. And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye. Hi, Kirsty here. If you're listening to this, that means you made it to the very end of the episode. So thank you so much for that. It really means a lot when each and every one of you takes the time to listen to these episodes. If you haven't already, be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and even our TikTok page to stay updated on the latest news and episodes. Again, thank you guys so much for all the support, and stay tuned for next week's episode.